This morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 15. I want to read it to you from the NIV, and I want to read the first 10 verses. It's entitled, The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, as it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Trust that the Lord will bless that passage to us this morning. Shall we just pray and ask God to help us as we look at this word this morning? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning to worship and to praise your holy name, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this time together. May your words speak to our hearts, transform our lives, so that we may be indeed conformed to your likeness. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We're looking at John 15 together. You know, at some point, we have all begun to learn something new, a new language perhaps, a new skill or a hobby. But to do so, we needed the basics explained to us, a simplified explanation of the whole process. Often I think that we wish that the same thing could be for us as Christians, if we could put the gospel into a nutshell. If we could have it all explained to us very neatly. And I think John chapter 15 does that for us. I'm sure if you were to ask a group of Christians what the Christian life was all about, you would get various different replies, different answers. Some would say that the most important thing is to perhaps love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Others would say that it is to live a righteous life. Others would say perhaps it is to worship him and to share the gospel with others. Some would say that it is holiness. But what is it? What exactly is the main idea in the Christian life? John chapter 15 is the Lord's personal description of the Christian life. The Christian life is the life of Christ expressed through a believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so let's just take that first part for a moment. The Christian life is the life of Christ expressed through a believer. In verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, or the husbandman. In verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Just think of the imagery that the Lord Jesus Christ is using here. Jesus says that God the Father is the husbandman, or he is the gardener, and that he himself is the vine. We are the branches, and we are the ones that are to bear fruit. Think about this for a moment. A pear can only produce pears. Apple tree can only produce apples. And the vine in this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ is the fact that he is the main stem. He is the branch. We are the branches. We are the extensions of him. And the only possible fruit that we can bear is Christ-likeness. A branch can only produce what it is by nature. Only if we have been truly born again, if we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ's offer of salvation, and the Lord having called us to himself, and the Holy Spirit having indwelt us, then it is possible for us to bear fruit. The word Christian means Christ-likeness. The Christian life is literally the supernatural invasion of God into human beings. As Christians, we empty ourselves of sin and self, and we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come and take up residence in us, to live his life through us, to have his life expressed through each and every one of us who believe in him. If we take a quick survey of the New Testament on all the passages that speak about fruit, we see that they all point to Christ's likeness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, for example, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. And so what is it saying? That if we are Christians, these are the fruits that should be seen in our lives. This is often said to be the shortest biography of the Lord Jesus Christ ever written. All of the fruit of the Spirit is simply characteristics of Christ: patience, meekness, kindness, gentleness. All of these things are pictures of Christ's character. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says that the fruit of our lips is praise unto God. As we look at Jesus' life, we see that he praised the Father continuously. Christ's likeness will bring about a heart of worship, a heart of praise. James chapter 3 verse 18, it talks about the fruit of righteousness. And indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ is the righteous one. Christ's likeness includes righteousness or holiness, which is the character of God. When we become like Jesus, we literally become ambassadors of God. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. We represent the character of God's Son. And so if we read further on in John chapter 15, Jesus says in verses 11 that because of our coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have joy in our lives and in our hearts. We will also be able to love the way God loves. Those are the true characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 16 it says, we will bear fruit, and our fruit will remain. It's the only fruit that's going to remain. It speaks of this, of soul winning, sharing the gospel with people. That's all part of being Christ-like, and that is the only thing that we will take with us one day, are those that we have witnessed to, that those we have shared the gospel with, and perhaps have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of it. This speaks of soul winning then. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he said, "Of the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And further on in this chapter, Jesus speaks then of some of the cost that is involved. He speaks of suffering, which is true of anyone who calls themselves a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It happens to each and every one of us in one form or another, because we've got an enemy of the soul in this world who is against us, and he will do everything in his power to stop us being witnesses of the Lord Jesus. All that we strive for, all that we think are the virtues of Christianity, can be summed up in this word, Christ-likeness. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says there, it tells us that God predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so God, right round before the beginning of the world, had planned that we become like his Son. That is the whole purpose of Christianity, that we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ day by day. Christ expressed or reproduced in the believer, as it says in verse 8. In verse 8 he says, This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So what shows the world that we are his disciples is when we reproduce the fruits of Christ-likeness in our lives. God is glorified through our Christ-like behavior. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 reminds us that God's glory is the chief end of man. That's why we are in this world, to glorify the Lord. For Jesus Christ to be expressed through us, there must be an emptying of ourselves, emptying of self and dying to self, and our giving of ourselves to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Self is taken off the throne and mortified, put to death. And Jesus Christ has given the throne of our lives as we prepare ourselves to carry out his desires, his will, and his ambitions. Jesus Christ alluded to this in two chapters earlier, in chapter 12 and verses 24 of John's Gospel. He says there, "I tell you the truth, unless an ear of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And so this is important for each and every one of us, that we die to self and we come alive to him, so that we might produce many other followers of the Lord Jesus. In verse 25, "The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will find it, and find eternal life." And so this is the first stage then. The Christian life is the life of Christ expressed through the believer. As we die to self and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to have the throne of our hearts, that he might take possession of us. So far we've asked what the Christian life is all about. And we have seen then that it is the life of Christ produced and expressed through us as believers, or in the believer. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. John 15 is sandwiched between John 14 and John 16. And here the Lord Jesus Christ explains the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. And so it's no surprise then, because in John 15, when Jesus speaks of abiding in Christ and that we can do nothing worthwhile except through him, he is referring to the work of the Holy Spirit that is evident in a believer's life as we yield to Jesus Christ's lordship. You will see the supernatural expression of Jesus' life reflected in and through your life if you are a believer in Christ. And this is so completely beyond our fallen creatures and our natural ability that nothing short of divine intervention can actually accomplish it. It's all of God. And that is exactly what happens in verses 4 and 5. It says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit." You see, a branch cannot produce fruit. It has no fruit-producing power in and of itself. It can only bear fruit as long as it is abiding in the vine. If it relies on itself, it can bear no fruit at all. It has no quality or no ability to do that. But if it yields to the vine and receives the sap from the vine, it will, and allows the sap to flow through it, it will bear fruit. What does that mean for us? It means dying to self, clearing out all of the things that are obstacles or in the way of being completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of the Christian life. That is presenting ourselves to God. Now we must ask God for grace. We need to come to him in submission and in humility. Having yielded and surrendered and submitted our lives to the Lord Jesus, we are now dependent on God to completely control us. His guidance, his power, his enabling grace, making it possible for us to be obedient to him. Ephesians 5:18, a well-known verse, says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit." That's a command. And what it means is this, that when we get drunk on wine, we are under the control of the influence of the wine, of the evil one. And we are out of control. When we give our lives to the Lord and we give our lives and pray that the Holy Spirit take up residence in us and we seek to serve him and he takes possession of us, we will be under his control and we will be able to do that which is right and that which is good. And so what the Greek word originally means, it's saying that we are to be continually filled with the Spirit. Constantly come under the control and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And we are not to be controlled by the world and its influences. So Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." In other words, every step that we take, the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us, and we allow him to fill us and to control us. This speaks of continual fellowship with him. And so we asked the question was, how do we do that? By spending time in his word and prayer and filling our minds with the things that are good and right and proper, allowing God to communicate with us as we communicate with him. The life of Christ in you and me can only produce the power, be produced by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's just sum up what the Christian life is all about. The Christian life, the life of Christ, is expressed through us as believers by the power of the Spirit as we obey him through his word. We see that in John 15 and verses 7 to 10. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. What does he mean by that? It means that we will want to do the things that he wants us to do. We will have our hearts completely in tune with him. And so therefore, we will be doing what he wants us to do. Verse 10 says, he says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And the second thing then is we need to ask the Holy Spirit to empower us, to enable us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the life of Christ can be seen in us. Then the third thing is that we have to bear fruit. The Spirit doesn't work in a vacuum. He empowers our obedience. He doesn't do the work for us. You and I still have to obey him. We still have to do what he wants us to do. If you want to know if you are filled with the Spirit, then I would suggest that you go to Galatians 5 and read those verses, verse 22 and 3 again. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, and it's self-control. And so if we want to know if we are filled with the Spirit, we need to look at our lives and ask ourselves the questions. Do these things appear in our way, in our conduct? Obedience to Christ is the secret of becoming Christ-like. True obedience comes from the heart of love for God and the love for God's people. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. The Spirit gives us power to obey. He doesn't make us obey. It is only as we choose to obey him, to witness, to pray, to love, to read his word, to have a desire to do these things, to learn more about him, to pour out our lives into other people's lives. That is the true Holy Spirit enabling us to do all of these things. True obedience proceeds from a heart of love for God. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me and obey my commandments. A heart then that is conquered by Christ, that is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that has died to self and is abiding and remaining in the Lord Jesus, that is the heart that will delight to obey him. Our obedience is based on how much we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Although the Christian life is all of grace and the Holy Spirit's empowering, there is still a responsibility on you and I. And Isaiah chapter 5, I think, is almost a parallel chapter to John chapter 15. And we will be as spiritual as we want to be. We know that it's all by grace, that God has done everything that is possible for us to produce good fruit. But we, like the branch, have to draw our spiritual sap from the vine, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is received through faith in the Lord. And according to Hebrews chapter 11, faith is expressed in our obedience. And our obedience to is by grace through faith. So the Christian life is all about becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's loving and glorifying God by allowing the life that Jesus is able to express through us so that God may be glorified. As we yield to the Holy Spirit's power, he will enable us to obey God. While the Christian life is quite simple, It's the Lord's life being produced in and through the life of a believer. But we also see that it is costly. It is not a cheap thing. But it is all very well worthwhile to hear the Lord's voice saying to you one day when you get to heaven and you stand before him, "Well done, you good and faithful servant," on that last day. He's not going to necessarily say to us, "Well done, you good and successful servant," but as long as we are faithful, that's what he calls us to be. In Isaiah chapter 5, we have almost this parallel chapter to verse chapter 15 in John's Gospel, where he compares Israel as a fertile hill to plant the vines. And you see, God compares Israel to a vineyard, and he says that he planted in it in a fertile plain. He surrounded them with good teaching, in other words. He fenced them in. He built stone walls around this vineyard to protect them. Speaks of security. God is our security. And then he took out the stones. In other words, he removed all the obstacles from producing for them not to be able to produce a crop. And then he planted the choicest of vines. That is his divine intervention. He planted the choicest of vines, and then he puts in a wine press, expecting fruit, but it didn't come. But God says, "Is it my fault? What more could I have done to have made Israel a fruitful nation for the glory of God?" He has truly done his part. Now the responsibility for our fruit rests upon us as we do our part by obeying what he commands us to do. We will be as spiritual as we want to be. We know it's all by grace. He has done everything for us to produce good fruit. But we, like the branch, we have to draw our spiritual nourishment from the vine, and that is the Lord Jesus. Grace is received through faith, according to Hebrews 11, and faith is expressed by our obedience. Obedience is by grace through faith. Disobedience is self through faithlessness. So to conclude the Christian life, what is it all about? It's becoming like Christ. It's loving and glorifying God by allowing the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to be expressed through our lives. As we yield to him, we discover that the Holy Spirit was the one that will empower us to be able to do what we cannot do in our own strength and by ourselves. And so perhaps then this morning, as we come and draw this to a conclusion, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. Have we realized that my purpose as a Christian is to be like the Lord Jesus? Secondly, have we learned to depend on the Holy Spirit so that we can produce the fruits of Christ-likeness? And thirdly, have we searched the Word of God so that we can find out everything that we can possibly know about him, so that we can be like him? And so you will see Jesus revealed throughout the scriptures if you study them. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to model your life on the Lord's life. The Christian life is the Lord's life being produced through our lives. And the way that happens is when we yield ourselves and we listen to him and we obey his word. The more time you will spend with him, the more time you will become like him. We pray the Lord will help us apply this to our lives so that you and I can produce much fruit. And so this morning, as before we go home, I trust that you would be able to think about these things. And we will be reminded that the best is yet to come. To be with the Lord in heaven one day, where our names have been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our citizenship is there. Our inheritance is there. Our reward is there. And more importantly, our Savior, who has made all of this possible, will be there in glory. The Lord did not promise us a smooth sailing life in this world, but he has promised us a safe landing. And so we can be sure that if we put our trust in him, that we will be blessed in every way possible. And so I trust this morning that each and every one of us, if we've never given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, think about it. Seriously, read the word of God. Let him speak to you. May the Holy Spirit indeed touch each and every one of us this morning. We ask us in his name. Amen.